speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We began a lesson series last Lord's Day morning on Except It Be for Fornication. And of all the departures, I suppose, from the faith that I've witnessed since my childhood, none have been more harmful and widespread than the false teaching surrounding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Again, our Lord wrote in Matthew 19, verse 3 through 9, "The Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he that made them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife and shall marry another, except it be for fornication, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." According to this passage, then, Jesus reinforces the divine teaching on marriage, which was established at creation. One man for one woman for life, that is the Lord's will and the Lord's way. But you know, every working day throughout this country, divorce granted is heard in the courtrooms of our land. And there is no doubt that divorce is one of the greatest sins of the human race. It is that which has affected our society more than any other one thing that we can possibly name. Its effects are far, far reaching in this life and, of course, into eternity. We live in a time in which quick, easy, unscriptural divorces and remarriages are occurring at an alarming rate, not only in society, but among members of the Lord's church at times. We also find this to be true. Brethren, let it never be forgotten that God hates divorce. Malachi 2:16 so states that. And while he tolerated divorce for a while under the law of Moses, giving regulation to those things, he now, in the Christian dispensation, commands all, Christians and non-Christians, to marry for life, that only death and fornication can sever that relationship, according to the verses we just read in Matthew 19. Bear in mind, nothing man can do or say will alter God's word, and God is going to have the last word. "Forever, O Lord," said the psalmist, "thy word is settled in heaven," Psalms 119 and verse 89. Now, while many have rejected God's word on this and other subjects, that same word will judge them at the last day, that great day of judgment, John 12:48. Today, pulpits have become, to a great degree, indifferent, neglectful, it seems, and silent on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And this has resulted in congregations being filled with adulterers and adulteresses. And at the day of judgment, the blood of these people will cry out against those who have refused to teach the truth, and they will lose their souls, according to Acts 20, verse 26, 27. Paul said, "I'm free from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." Many people are not proclaiming that whole counsel, and so because of that, this problem becomes worse all the time. You know, the statement from the servant of old needs to be carefully noted. "Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever," Deuteronomy 5:29. You know, when people turn away from God and His Word, they'll harden their hearts, won't they? The Lord met that kind of people. He said, "This people's hearts are waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn again, and I will heal them." In Hebrews 3:12, Paul said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." My friends, if you are hardened in heart against the truth on this subject or any other subject, what makes you think you won't harden it when it comes to the real things of life otherwise given in the Word of God? If you're thinking about getting an unscriptural divorce, and if you're thinking about entering into an unscriptural marriage, please carefully and prayerfully consider some things that we want to suggest to you this morning. First of all, are you willing to violate the teaching of our Lord on Matthew 19:9? Second of all, have you asked your children if they want you to get a divorce and remarry another? Consider the effects on your in-laws and other relatives and friends. And have you considered the devastating effects divorce will create in your children and for them in the future? Are you that selfish and self-centered that you do not consider your children? Remember the vows, too, that you made before God and man, and those vows even unto death. Well, think about the pain likewise and the grief and the shame and the sin that you're about to commit. You're about to inflict a wound, a big hole in the heart of your children that will never, never heal throughout all the rest of the days of their lives. Think about how this will affect the Lord's church. Consider how this will affect non-Christians who know you. Consider the third party that you're about to marry, dragging them into an adulterous relationship because you don't have the right to marry. Now, if your divorce is not for fornication, then you can never remarry as long as your mate lives. You're setting an example for your children, too, to follow after they are married. And you know, generally speaking, those who have been from divorced homes also are found to gain divorces within their lives. Well, this could cause you to lose your immortal soul in hell, as well as those with whom you come in contact and those who you influence in this world. Fellowship will be withdrawn from you also by God and the local church if they're faithful to the cause of Christ and to the Word of God. And after considering all these facts, ask yourself something else. Is it really worth it? One man, a gospel preacher as well as a licensed counselor, psychologist, and professor of counseling at one of our schools, he said he is also in private practice as a counseling psychologist and marriage and family therapist on a part-time basis. He says most divorced spouses with whom I have counseled have told me that they wish they had tried harder to preserve their marriage, feeling they had moved too fast to get their divorce. He goes on to say, since there are many contributing factors to divorce and many painful consequences, what can be said and done to stop divorce? Well, some suggestions might be helpful to us this morning, and let's take a look at some of those. Look for solutions, not just problems, when you're thinking about divorce. Look for strengths, not just weaknesses. Look for possibilities and not just impossibilities. When we do this, we put interest into our marriage, don't we? And we are striving to hold together that which God wants us to hold together. We ought to be loyal, next of all, to our mate and be faithful. We can't always cause others to do things, but we can cause ourselves to do them. And if we're loyal, it will turn around to also make others loyal and faithful in their work. Take all the Bible seriously also, not just the sections on divorce and remarriage, but take all of it. So, for instance, how about that golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then what about loving your mate? You promise to love and to cherish and to honor and to obey even, perhaps. But you need to love your mate and learn to love that one more than you love your self-centeredness in this way of life. Then again, why not encourage one another? It would be surprising how that would turn things around if we began to encourage our mate and help them go to heaven at last. And that certainly is important in saving our marriage. Then again, realize that divorce will not solve all of your problems. It won't solve your personality disorders. And it certainly won't get rid of your bad temper or the moodiness that you may be falling into or the low self-esteem or the depression, a lack of interpersonal skills and other problems that you may have. That divorce is not going to settle that, my friends. Those have to be settled individually on the basis of truth and with an honest heart to do what is right in the sight of God. So realize that your divorce is not going to solve these problems. And that will help you to see that you need to solve those problems otherwise. Then also try to become a better marital partner yourself. Be more responsive. Be more cooperative. Be committed and loving and submissive, sharing and complimentary. And be fun to be with. Don't be one who is hard to get along with, but one who is easy to get along with. And it'll be harder for your mate to leave in such cases as this when you practice these things. Then again, consider the pain that is caused by divorce, not only to the spouse, but also to the children and to others who know you and love you. Then work hard to keep that marriage together. I've often said, If we worked as hard to keep it together as we do trying to break it, we'd have a wonderful marriage. And then again, last of all, accept what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. My friends, the Word of God is true, and there are many causes and consequences of divorce in this world. But divorce is always painful. It is always wrong in the sight of God, and it can be stopped if you want to stop it. So the key is submission to the reign of God and to the lordship of Jesus Christ in every aspect of our lives. The husband and the wife, each equally concerned. Preventing divorce will not be easy at times, but then again, it is possible, and it is very rewarding. So before you get a divorce, my friends, study about it. Pray about it. Meet your elders or the preacher, and they love you and are vitally interested in you and your family. And remember that divorce is not the answer.